If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I am your wonderful host, Daniel, and with me today is Sam Gates of the Bottle Cap Brigade. I have had him on previously as a guest on Insight before, and I wanted to bring him back on for another stellar conversation and to do some deep dive reviews into things that have just happened recently in Dungeons & Dragons. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Daniel, I am fucking stoked to be here. Thanks for having me again, man.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. I don't think I really need to jump back into your background because people can listen to the last interview that we had together to get the full background of Sam Gates and the Bottle Cap Brigade.
Absolutely.
But today we're going to talk about a couple of things. Number one is two books that came out for Dungeons & Dragons recently, 5th edition. That is the Icewind Dale and the Frostmaiden campaign book. It's a module, and what modules are adventure paths, you'd say, like storylines that adventurers could follow, and it helps its ease of play for the DM to be able to just make a campaign without having to homebrew everything.
Yeah, so you don't have to spend 8 hours fucking thinking of every single city in your world. Yeah. Yep.
And most recently, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, a supplemental, a massive supplemental added into the game, which honestly I think is going to change the meta of Dungeons & Dragons as a whole. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Adventure Leagues are going to ban it, honestly. Be like,
yeah,
no,
I don't know about they have a hard time doing that, but it's definitely like the $14.99 fucking expansion to any video game that you've ever played, right? It's canonically changing everything about D&D.
Yeah, and yeah. And we're just gonna talk, and I'm also gonna bring up speculation of the future of Dungeons and Dragons and Wizards of the Coast.
Ooh.
Conspiracy theories coming in.
Fun.
But yeah, so let's get on to the first topic. Icewind Dale. The module. You did a review over on the Bottle Cap Brigade channel. Really informative. I really enjoyed it. Did it meet your expectations, first of all, for a module in Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, so like when I originally went in and was doing like some pre-research, like when I pre-ordered Icewind Dale, and like reviewing content and like what some of the writers were saying, My whole expectation of Icewind Dale was that it was going to be like a the beginning of a shift to a new era within D&D and Wizards of the Coast, where they went from kind of like the more, I guess, what you would call like a typical D&D aficionado's skill set, right, and moved it to something that is more like accessible and available to like new players and people that want to get into the game but are intimidated by like even 5e source books, which I mean, I think anyone like listening to this or anyone that's familiar with D&D knows that like 5e is by far the easiest, but it's still you have to explain it to people for a few hours before they even kind of get the point.
It's still a lot to take in going in.
Yeah, and so like going into it, I kind of expected a little bit more DM handholding. Like that was kind of what I wanted to see out of Rime of the Frostmaiden, and like that's I think what I got. I heard some dissension like on that video where people kind of thought like it's not so much for new DMs. Like you should have an experienced DM running that campaign. And I always like to think, like, if you have an experienced DM running Rime of Frostmaiden versus Curse of Strahd, how much prep time are you going to have to put into both? And when I go back through and, like, reread each of those source books, unfailingly, I think that Rime of the Frostmaiden is going to take me maybe a tenth of the time, because like it's all built out. All of the maps are in there. It has a really like flowy storyline that leads to a point that's less like open than Curse of Strahd. And don't get me wrong, like COS is a great module. It's just the first time I read it, I had to like go do a deep dive on like Reddit to actually like figure out what the fuck I was doing, right? So there's that. In addition to the fact that like some of the like additions to spells that Icewind Dale included, I thought were fucking awesome. Like I thought that how they added like the town vibes behind the towns that they built into the module was really, really cool. It essentially had like population density, like overall, like if it was mostly populated by humans or dwarves or whatever, and like if everyone was an asshole or if they were really friendly, right? And like how pricey the shops were. I just thought that was a really nice way to, if you're reading that book and it's your second campaign DMing, you're not going to feel overwhelmed by it. So
you would say that on terms of ease of use, comparable to Mines of Phandelver?
But
with a lot more story and meat.
Yeah.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes, right? Yeah. Like a lot more like deep dive into like how to, like, you know, it's like when you and I, I'm sure, kind of had the same experience, like when we did homebrewed our first campaign. And I'm sure like folks listening can kind of relate, where you go to homebrew your first campaign and it's like, where do I start? Like, I have all these ideas. Like, I have all of this, like, just fantasy lore shit in my head from like every video game I've ever played and every book that I've ever read. Where am I going to start consolidating that into something that can fit into a D&D module, right? Like, I used The Name of the Wind book series by Rothfuss as like the start for my first big homebrew. And like, I stole the map and I stole all of the characters, and like I had that as a baseline to build it off of. But I think Rime of the Frostmaiden gives us like a condensed version of something like that. So I liked it.
This is an embarrassing secret, but my first campaign homebrew, mm-hmm. I was like, it was during fourth edition. I was like 17 years old and I was big into NASCAR. So I named my entire continent Daytonia. Fuck, and had like King Earnhardt.
Dude, I wouldn't be embarrassed by the NASCAR thing. I'd be embarrassed by the fact that you played 4E. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, with Frostwind Dale though, all cool, like you said, new spells, but also new monster subtypes, which I really liked about that. Snowy owlbear? Come on, man. It's like a polar bear, but owlbear.
Dude, yeah, I loved that, and I loved, it's escaping me. I talked about it in the video that I did, but there's, God damn it, it was part of a new spell too, but you could conjure, like, essentially like a servant that could also like attack for you and stuff like that. I'm gonna think about it like right after I am done struggling to think of the name of it, but like the new monsters they introduce overall are really awesome, and I just think that they did a really good job at tying it into the overall, like, the universe that they built into that module. Same thing again, I keep referencing Curse of Strahd just because there's a lot of like tie-ins with that, but like everything in COS was super like dark and fucked up and sad. And with Icewind Dale, everything is cold and blue and frigid, right? And they crushed that. So
awesome. Yeah. This is also kind of, as far as Race at Roll Insight goes, also kind of a book recommendation as well. Like, you would recommend that as a perfect pickup module for somebody's first module, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, in addition to 5e, like the source book, mm-hmm. I think if you're gonna pick up two books, if you're like, fuck, I really want to play D&D, and I have no idea what I'm doing, I would say you know, listen to the Bottle Cap Brigade and Ready, Set, Roll, because we have no fucking clue what we're doing. And you can model yourself off of that. But number two, pick up 5e, just the source book, because that has rules and shit in it. And then pick up Rime of the Frost Maiden and steal what you can out of it.
Yeah.
And like run Icewind Dale once, and then you can like expand yourself off of that. And I think that's a really good foundation to lay for like an entire D&D like experience. So
it's awesome to hear, and I'm glad I have somebody who has so much knowledge on that, by the way, on the show to inform me too, because seriously, I'm probably going to end up getting that book as well.
It's great. It's great. And like, I do you use D&D Beyond at all?
No, unfortunately. Like, I use it for character building, but I like to have the physical books, right? I don't like to use the internet books because it's all digital. And what if that goes away, right? Then I don't have my books to play D&D in the apocalypse.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, that's a very honestly like legit concern. I use D&D Beyond too, because like our stream uses it, and we have like a Twitch overlay or whatever. But like the, I don't know, that just how like interactive, because I've had like three characters now that I stole a little bit from Rime of the Frostmaiden from in D&D Beyond, and it was just really fun to do. So,
well, let's get into our next topic. The big one on the table, I feel like, tonight is Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. Just recently released. Everybody got their pre-orders. Well, almost everybody.
sorry about that, man.
But it the whole book involves the witch. She's a witch, right? That's her nomenclature. The witch Tasha, who, if you've ever played D&D, you know she has Tasha's Hideous Laughter, the big one. The one spell I always hear in a podcast, people make the worst jokes just to get the point across.
Dude, but it's by far, like, I don't know. I think that Tasha's Hideous Laughter is up there with, like, one of the more fun RP spells to play around with.
Odaluk's dance. Oh, gosh. Uncontrollable dance, right? That's what it...
Mm-hmm.
That's another top one, because it's like it makes the boss monster dance uncontrollably. No save whatsoever. You just dance.
Yeah, that dance one's good. Leoman's Tiny Hut, too. Like, I fucking love that shit. I don't know what it is about that silly little ass spell, but it's super fun to do. So.
But yeah, so this book is the grab and drag of everything that was in one Unearthed Arcana. Which Unearthed Arcana is what many people would consider beta testing. It's all the created classes that never got put into the main books, not allowed in Adventure Leagues at all. Adventure Leagues are basically only core and a few other modules. I don't even think they use Sword Coast Guide anymore.
Yeah, like sometimes I've seen a couple of them use like Eberron's, but it depends.
But it finally brings all those fun, awesome Unearthed Arcana classes into actual source and spells, as well as all kinds of different abilities and classes into the mix. And reading through it, I got to say there was a lot of detail I enjoyed. And we can go by chapter, because in first chapter... I'm going off memory, not book in hand.
No, you're right? Good, man.
Chapter is the introduction, telling you the 10... They had like 10 things in there that I feel like are the new 10 commandments of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, just like things that I don't know. I think that like... because you're right. They broke Tasha's out like really, really well in that regard. And like when we were talking about earlier, Icewind Dale being a much more like accessible module for new DMs. I think that Tasha's is that, but for players, right? Like if we're going to say Icewind Dale is a really accessible module for DMs, Tasha's is a really accessible module for new players. And so like they break out and change, classes, races, spell casting, like as a fucking whole, Like some spells, there's like new Tasha's spells. There's like Tasha's Whip and Tasha's Caustic something.
Caustic Brew.
Like familiars, and you can like kind of customize spells. It just makes it like, it's like, what if I were to be playing like an RPG and I wanted to be an orc that is a spellcaster and not be pigeonholed into being like an elf or whatever, which I think is kind of like the fucking point of D&D. It's just like, be whatever you want, as long as you can explain it in a backstory, have at it, you know. I think that that's in a lot of ways what this kind of achieves.
Yeah, because there was some level of controversy that came out with the book. I like I said, I don't much follow any form of controversial thing. I'm just here to have fun and play the game, right? It's my house, my rules, my book. Like, why can't I play it the way I want to? Which is what it says in like the 10th thing. Have fun. It's your game, your book.
Do
whatever you
want.
If you don't want to have
the book.
Yeah. If you don't want to have fun, don't buy the book.
Well, or even if you want to have fun, but your fun is different than like being inclusive and like fiddle fucking around with the rules, like that's fine too. Like, we're not here to fuck, we're not here to like dog anyone for
like
not buying a source book.
I never judge a DM for being number crunchy kind of DM who just runs it straight dungeons. I don't. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets their own way to play the game.
Yeah,
and it's
And like, because we're like, TBB is on the far end of the spectrum of not giving a shit. We have 4.5 hour improv sessions every week, like in front of however many people seem to want to watch us, right? Like, so we're like here on the far left side is that, and then on the far, you know, right brain side or whatever bullshit you want to say is that number crunch DM that just like. No, okay, so you got hit by a trap that has like this big of a club on the end of it, so you take 1d6 damage instead of 1d4, and I'm going to roll that damage, and then we're going to move forward from there. Whereas like Austin and TBB is just like, yeah, fuck it, you got hit by a log, 48, like whatever, like moving on. So I think that there's two different, you know, kind of like philosophies behind how to play D&D. And neither of them are wrong. They're just different. Mm-hmm. But Tasha's definitely is for the people that don't give a shit about sticking to canonical rules, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's the exception overrules the general was another thing they said in there. But it includes all kinds of new things. It includes the subclasses, brand new subclasses introduced in there. It gives sorcerer classes, wizard classes, rangers, druids, all the classes love that some of them didn't have as much in the core game. Like sorcerers, they're fun to play, but I feel like they are the one class that gets the most shafted besides rangers in Dungeons & Dragons. And now they've got all kinds of new things, items, magical items that have been included in this book that help them a lot. Did you see the one where they literally just regain 5 sorcery points?
Yep. Yeah. And it's yep. And it's funny because I'm playing a sorcerer right now, in the Bottle Cap Brigade, and so like I'm using that. Two, like I was really impressed by, and I'm just kind of thumbing through the book a little bit because I can't fucking remember everything that I always read, but so like the coolest one, the two cool ones, and one is like pretty obvious and is talked about a lot, and the other is a little bit less like I guess like prevalent, but like the artificer changes are sick. I think what they did with artificers is amazing. The barbarian switches are pretty cool too. And like, yeah, I'm fully going to be using some of the like the spells, like the psionic spells that they added for sorcerers in TBB, because like I don't know, you can do a lot, but you can't do as much as I think you should be able to do sometimes as a sorcerer.
Are you all going to include this book into TBD this season, or are you going to wait until a new campaign? That's always a big question I ask people.
Yeah, I think like anytime I say, "Hey, Austin, I'm going to do this," he'll say like, "Yeah, as long as it makes sense," you know. Like I'm sure that I will be using at least some of the spells in here. If not, like going hard and kind of overhauling Darrow, my character, to make it fit a little bit better what I want him to be. Just because like what they put in here is what my character just unwittingly would have been, right? So I'm probably gonna make a few changes.
R.I.P. Yong.
Yeah, fucking poor guy, man. He's dead as shit.
Sad moment.
Poor fella.
But we don't want to get into too many spoilers into this, but there is one magical item in there that when I read about it, read all the effects it has and all that, I was like, this thing could bitch slap a Tarrasque.
Which one?
It's the thing that requires two attunement. You'll notice it. It's a big, hulking.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, like, I don't know, you got to put a couple god killers in there. You know what I mean? Or at least one.
You can't include that into a game. It will, like, unless you're rolling, like, level 20 characters, nothing can kill that thing.
For sure. Well, and I mean, when you think about, like, I don't know. I think that it's a good like litmus for the entire rest of the source book. Like they wrote stuff like that in. They wrote like new puzzles in and like really cool ways of like framing certain aspects of the story that you don't really think about. Like I didn't think about like how to write a puzzle into my campaign until like, I don't know, a month into it, right? So it just gives you some of those like little resources where if you have the ability to throw that flavor in, like you can totally do it and get weird with it, right?
And one more big thing I wanted to talk about was the class options. Because in Dungeons & Dragons 5e, you had your classes, you know, fighter, paladin, druid, warlock, ranger, so on and so forth, that had a base set of moves and things that got at certain levels. What Tasha's includes now is an optional change, sort of like what I got off of 3.5, right? Where you like went into the subclass, but then you went into another portion of that subclass. Like there's a ranger that you can change out their favorite enemy feature for just an overall damage increase to any enemy that you fight against with a hunt, like something similar to Hunter's Mark.
Yeah.
And I thought the class optional stuff was really cool. And also their Battlemaster builds, they included a whole section for fighter builds that you could do for characters as well.
Yeah. Well, and like, yeah, that's funny that you bring that up. Like same thing for sorcerer builds, right? Like if you pick like a meta magic feat that you're not stoked about, you can use one of your level advances to swap out your meta magic pick. So like quicken spell for hasten spell or whatever. And again, I mean, D&D is like a flowy, malleable game that like, even if you're in like critical role, like you shouldn't give a shit about it. You should have fun playing it, you know? And like, I think that adding little optional like things like that, same thing for like if you want to be an orc and a wizard, sick, go for it. I think that really like sticks to the true like nature of the game, right?
It's like they took the clay pot they already had and somehow turned it back into clay to be able to be made into whatever pot you wanted it to.
Yep, that's a really good analogy. Yeah, they just reworked it a little bit to make it a little bit, it's more chill, you know. We don't have to get too serious. COVID exists, so we might as well just kind of like hang out and play fucking D&D, you know.
But this is where I'm getting into conspiracy territory now.
Okay.
Where I consider this the 5.5 release of Dungeons & Dragons. That this was their 5.5 halfway, not halfway point, because this has been out for years now. 5th edition has. But they've never come up with a 5.5. So my thoughts are that this is going to be like the last big book in 5th edition, and they're about to jump ship into 6th edition.
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting concept. And it's like, because there's one of two different ways that it could go, right? Like it's either the Skyrim route, where they just keep on releasing like source books for it, right? Like different modules for it until it's beat to death. And someone says like, we need a 6E or we're just bored, right? Or alternatively, like it's kind of what you're saying. Like they have like Tosh's is a 5.5, then they release 6 like next year, and they just rework the entirety of the spectrum on it. But like, I don't know, I could see that going both ways, but I really hope that they like let us sit on Tosh's for a while, maybe do like one other like module on top of it, just to give it like maybe shore it up or like fill some cracks or like give like a really large expansive like yawning portal-esque like
yeah,
addition to it. But like after that, it's been enough time, and they've released what, like 7 or 8 different modules on this, like big yeah. ones. It's about time for a 6E anyway. So it wouldn't fucking surprise me too much if you were right about that, you know?
It's just how I'm feeling it, man. It's just, you're bringing all your beta testing into one book. What's going on here, Wizards? What are you planning plotting over there?
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me, man. That would be, it'd be fun as fuck. I'm stoked for 6E. I'm going to make so much content for it, but
what do you think they're going to do though for a 6th edition? Like, how would the game mechanics change?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. It's so like with Artificers, they're moving it more towards that like steampunk like direction, right? They can take it in another like fantastical arc direction where now that they've gotten so many people like reintroduced into the game, that they build it back up into that more mathy like spectrum and make it a little bit more technically difficult. But like if you still want that like easy like introduction into D&D, you still have like 5e to like fall back on and play. But for us fucking basement nerds, we can kind of get back into something that's not 3.5, right?
Yeah.
Or like 2e or whatever. and so yeah, like I think kind of like an update on something like second edition would be fucking awesome. Oh, you know, yeah, just like a new way to focus on that stuff. So
all right, well, this was us basically gushing for let's see, where are we at on time? This was us basically gushing for 28 minutes, but
yeah.
Honestly, I had a lot of fun with this interview, and to even have somebody to talk and discuss about my theories and what cool things are in the book. Monk, Way of the Astral Self.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting all the JoJo references, honestly.
Hell yeah. Well, and like that was one of the things. So the guy that's playing a monk in the Bottle Cap Brigade in the stream, he's never played D&D before. This is his first campaign. He really, really enjoys it. Like, he's a huge like nerd in general. Next time he comes over, he's one of my quarantine ability buddies. I'm going to make him look through the monk subset and like steal some of the stuff from it for his next level up. So
show off that cover. Just put it right in there.
Yeah, that's how I roll, dude.
Oh, no. I mean right now. Show off the cover and show it off for everybody.
Bam. Oh, there it is.
There it is. Tosha just over her bowl, bubbling cauldron, summoning all kinds of weird magic. Putting chicken legs on every single magic spell she casts, because that's actually lore now.
Yeah, it is now. Yeah.
One more thing that I actually didn't think about until now. The abilities to switch out your subclasses is actually a feature in this book. It introduces it as a feature. So if you've been stuck on, say, Way of the Elemental Fist Monk, but you're wanting to work on that Monk of Mercy or the Way of the Astral Self, you can do that now if you have a good story reason. Like you said, story reason comes up, you're like, do it, go ahead. Like, yep. I think that's also a cool addition that they needed to have in bold print.
Yeah. 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 No. And like, I think that, again, just like the versatility is what's so fucking awesome about that. Like, I don't know if you're in especially like a long running campaign and you want to be able to like justify switching it up, do it. Like, it's multi-classing, but in the same class, you know, like if you can justify being a warlock barbarian, like, be a warlock barbarian, do whatever you want, you know, I don't care.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it makes it fun, you know?
Man. Well, we're at that time again, end of the show, where we each give a piece of insight to the good people listening. Would you like me to go first, or you got a good insight waiting in the wings?
You go first.
All right. So my insight for today is to, one, prepare for a whole lot of new things that you get to add into your game, and be malleable to introducing new content. Even if you don't like the new content, your players might like it, and maybe they want you to introduce it in your game. Remember, us DMs are here to give the players a good time, and we get our enjoyment from players having a good time. So be malleable to new content that comes in, and if players want to do it, let them do it. It's all content.
That's a good one.
It's all for fun.
Yeah, that's solid, man. I don't know, I think if I were to impart a wee bit of knowledge on anyone, it'd be twofold. The first section of the knowledge that I would want to impart would be, don't ever let anyone talk shit about how you want to play D&D. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, tell them to fuck off and suck a butt and don't talk to them anymore, because that's not the kind of person that you want to play D&D with. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I would say is, if you have the means to, get Tasha's, and even Icewind Dale, do it. If money's a little bit tight, 'cause the world is weird and I get that too. Google it. Like, someone will put how to run Tasha's if you don't have the book up on the internet. I guarantee it. Like Reddit or whatever, and get yourself familiar with it. I think it's a really fun, like, really cool thing for folks that are really getting into D&D just now. Like, D&D is getting larger and larger, and especially with quarantine, like, people just need to have an outlet that isn't a gross, weird, COVID-filled world. So get into it. Do yourself a favor. Like, have fun playing D&D. Fuck the haters. Like, it's my advice.
Well, I could actually add on to your advice as well. Dungeons and Dragons Beyond has a way to share Bookshare. So ask one of your friends if they've got it. Ask them if you can share the book.
Yeah, hit me up. If anyone hits me up off this, I swear to God, at Prefunk for Hell on Instagram, I will share the Tasha's book that I legit just bought like 20 minutes ago on D&D Beyond, because I wanted to overhaul Darrow.
So. All right, well, hit us up on your plugs. Where can we find you?
Yeah, so go ahead, and right now we're really pushing our Patreon. So patreon.com/thebottlecapbrigade. We have a bunch of tiers. Even if you only have like $1 a month to give, you still unlock all of the content. If you give more, there's like sweaters and stickers and shit that gets sent out, as well as like additional fun perks and giveaways and stuff. So, like, I don't know, just $1 helps a lot. It means the world that you would want to give us money. Sub on, or like follow us on Twitch, just the Bottle Cap Brigade. Our Twitch is kind of popping a little bit too, which is fun. And same for YouTube, like the Bottle Cap Brigade. We post all of our dumbass shenanigans onto YouTube and hope that people watch it, and you do, and we are happy about that. So that's it.
All right. All those links will be in the show notes below. Once again, Sam, I'm happy to have you. Always have fun with our conversations. Really just comes out to be a great time.
Yeah, me too, Daniel. It's always a badass time. Thanks for having me, man.
And to everybody out there, get your books, get your dice, and get those magical tattoos now included in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Yep, at least one. At least one of those.
And I'll catch you all next time on the next race at Roll Insight. Bye-bye.
Bye.